Good evening, gentles. Good health unto you all. So too unto your glorious feasting hall, for I have traveled many, many days down road and avenue and other ways, there living by what means I could devise. The particulars I'll leave to your surmise. Suffice to say, I twice nigh lost a hand, and poor men are not honored in the land. But here is bounty beyond all compare, matched only by the charm of ladies fair, whose charm is matched in turn by verity, and matched above all else by charity. So for your kindness, gentles, one and all, your company, the shelter of your hall, for all which to you I in debt remain, I humbly thank, and thank you for again. Where'er I go, where I my glass may raise, there shall all your noble names be praised. And so that kindness be repaid in kind, I have a tale to tell which you will find is God's own truth in every last devise, and may he strike me down if these be lies. There being from the heaven no replies, and by your leave the tale I shall relay of why the sea is salt unto this day. For God did not create the ocean's brine, but filled the seas with water sweet as wine, as fresh and clear as any mountain stream, and multitudes of fish did therein teem. Somewhere within this golden age long gone, there lived a good, hard-working farmer man. Not rich, and yet not poor, he was content with that which every autumn harvest lent. What he could eat, he kept. The rest he sold, bought clothing for his family with the gold, and lived his life a happy man and free, content with but a simple destiny. But then one year the storms in August came, and lashed his fields beneath a pounding rain, and from the sky a swarm of locusts came to claim the meager harvest that remained. Great hardship did befall that winter time, for they had neither meat nor ale nor wine, and they had to contend with rats and flies and grumbling stomachs over children's cries. Now the farmer's brother was a wealthy man, whose influence ranged far across the land. His manor, it was said, had rooms a score, a library, great baths, 10 hearths or more. His larder never lacked for meat nor mead, his horses never wanted for their feed, and so the farmer set out for to plead for charity in this his time of need. His journey took him far and took him wide, over many miles of countryside, and through a silent, dark, and sullen wood, and past a little clearing wherein stood a little bearded man with axe in hand, and many trees had bowed to his command. A friendly greeting did the two exchange. What ho, my friend, what causes you to range upon a frigid froth December day? Pray tell, mayhap I'll help you find the way. I seek my brother's manor to convey my greetings for the coming Yuletide day, and for to seek a scrap of charity with which to feed my hungry family. God speed you on your way, my friend, and then perhaps we'll meet when you return again. The farmer then continued on his way, and found at length the valley wherein lay his brother's manor. And a warmer greeting still did show the brother's friendship and goodwill. And when he told his brother of his plight, he said, "You'll have a ham this very night," and sent him with a servant to his store, where hung nigh about 100 hams or more, and gave to him the very smallest one, for 'twas all that he could carry all alone. The farmer thanked his brother and departed. The great smoked ham upon his back he carted through muck and mire and snow and sludge and rain until he happened to return again into that selfsame clearing in the woods. And once again the little man there stood. "What ho, my friend! I see you did succeed to gain your brother's grace in time of need. But listen, I've a secret for to tell. And if you heed, 'tis bound to serve you well, for I know where the fairy folk do dwell. 'Tis there, beyond those trees that I did fell. Their magic, it is great, all things they can, and they just happen to be fond of ham. If you just go and enter in their lair, and let this fine smoked odor linger there, their mouths will water, and their stomachs roar, and soon their eyes will peek out behind the door, and they will make you offers for your ham. But every single one you must withstand, first silver by the handful, then in piles, then droves to fill a road for miles and miles, and gold alike no king has ever dreamed, and jewels and gems that none have ever seen, riches far beyond what I can say, but to every one you must say nay, and wait until their riches they reclaim, and ask you then for your own price to name. Then quickly say to them these words, no more. I'll have the handmill lying behind the door. And then haste, make fair exchange, and take the mill. Come quickly to me here, and then I will the remainder of my secrets then reveal, and tell you why you'll have got yourself a deal. The farmer, being curious, did agree, and went off to the woods there for to see, and lo, there was a hole there in the ground, and in he went, and down, and down, and down. And soon the smell of ham did fill the air, and just as soon the fairy folk were there. Kind sir, what may we offer for your ham? We'll pay in fair exchange what you demand. We'll give you silver, and we'll give you gold. We'll give you jewels lovely to behold, and riches in whate'er amount you please. Said the farmer, I'll be having none of these. Surely will you in no way be swayed, for we've not tasted ham these many days. To sate ourselves will nothing else suffice, we'll give you anything. Just name your price. And then the farmer spake these words, no more. I'll have the handmill lying behind the door. Immediately the fairies raised the cry, nay, that we cannot give, we'd sooner die. But they had bade him name his price, and so, for honor's sake, they let the handmill go. And so the farmer left the fairy lair. The ham he toiled to get, he left them there, and so returned unto the woods again, and this the little man did tell him then. You've done well, as the fickle fates allow. A ham you had, but no ham have you now. Yet think upon that ham you once possessed, so finely smoked with smell and flavor blessed. Think on't, and then the mill these words do tell, grind ham, and do it quick, and do it well. And when the farmer did as he was shown, the mill began to grind all on its own, and at one end a little ham did show, which then began to grow, and grow, and grow. No sooner did one ham lay by their side, than a second ham the mill began to grind. But before the mill could grind out yet a third, the little man did speak a magic word. As quick as it began, it stopped. The man reached down and lifted up one of the hams. That ham is yours for which you named this price. This one is mine, the fee for my advice. And so the man walked off into the fen, and the farmer never saw of him again. Quickly then the farmer took the mill, so to the ham, for he hungered for it still, and ran back to his wife as quick as thought, and said to her, see, wife, what I have got. Now I'll not weary you with long accounts of what he ground and when and what amounts. Suffice to say, his fortune did expand, and soon he was a very wealthy man. Now news of his good fortune quickly crept, for such a secret cannot long be kept, and soon the farmer's brother came to call to ask the price to buy the mill withal. Said the farmer, there is no price on my mill, I shall not sell it now, and never will. They argued long and hard, and hours passed, but still by his refusal stood he fast. And so in peace the brother did depart, but still the greed lurked deep within his heart. And he resolved to stand behind his will, so he returned that night and stole the mill. Then quickly to his manor with his prize, he plotted how to make his fortune rise. But first he thought to test the mill a bit. upon a whim. A pudding well would fit, and so he went and spake unto the mill, grind pudding, and do it quick, and do it well. Immediately pudding issued forth, the finest pudding in the south or north. It ran from off the table to the floor, and sent a pudding river out the door, and soon a mighty hue and cry was heard, for the brother didn't know the magic word. The brother sent a rider to the farm to beg for help before all came to harm, and when the farmer came he was amazed to see acre upon acre in a glaze. And such a fine and tasty pudding, too. But a pudding side for country would not do. So the farmer spoke the magic word, and then his brother never bothered him again. I wish this were the ending of my tale. For all would then be happy, soon and hail. Alas, the fates permit it not to be. For some months later came there from the sea a salt merchant, the mill he hoped to buy, but the farmer did refuse him low and high, and again the merchant would not let it be, and so he stole the mill and put to sea. And being a salt merchant, told the mill, grind salt, and do it quick, and do it well. The ending of my tale you all now know. The mill ground salt, the hold did overflow. The ship went down, and that is why I say that greed is why the sea is salt today. For somewhere far beneath the ocean's foam, where ne'er a man nor beast may ever roam, there lies a handmill far beneath the spray, that grinds out salt unto this very day.